Yes, today I'm once again joined by the legendary one and only Phil Martelli. Phil, what's going on?
John, how are you? I hope that you're safe, healthy, and staying strong, as well as all the people that are listening in.
Yes, what's the same for you, too. Phil, from the beginning, I have to back up a little bit. I want to thank you. I haven't talked to you since you've taken a position at Michigan. I want to thank you and Marie for welcoming my outlet to St. Joe's, and you were there leading the charge. You made me feel welcome, and it was a family environment. I haven't had a chance to talk to you since then. I just want to personally thank you, and it was a pleasure carving you. I also have all the press conferences that I recorded with you. It was a pleasure carving the team when you were there.
Well, I really appreciate it, and I really appreciated how you went about doing your job. Always about promoting these kids and the brand of what we were presenting at St. Joseph's.
Yes, and I miss being around Marie. You and Marie. Marie is a special person. Can you speak on Marie for a little bit? She's always made me feel well. She made everyone that know her, made everyone around her just feel welcome.
Forget her job. As a human being, she was just a superstar, and I'm delighted to say that she's a dear, dear friend of myself, my family.
Yeah.
And she wasn't a coworker. She was a friend. She came on in the year 2003-04, and it was seamless. And I miss her. I do talk to her often, but I'm an absolute professional in every way, shape, or form. But more importantly, she was a friend to all that she came in contact with.
Yes. Once again, thank both of you so much. So you were one of the longest tenured coaches in NCAA history. What about the game drives you and just kept you coming back over and over?
The look on people's faces. When people could smile and engage with what we were doing, when we could drive emotions, whether they were positive or negative,
right.
It was always I wanted to be able to touch people's hearts, but most especially young people. And if I can make a difference for one day with one person, or I can alter one day of their future, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted them to act like champions, to carry themselves like champions, and to be champions for the rest of their lives.
Yes, and this situation we're in is unprecedented. What was your initial reaction when you found out the NCAA was going to cancel March Madness? I'm sure you could see it coming, as all of us have. What was the initial reaction when you found out what was going to happen?
I felt sorrow. I felt sorrow for unusual people, seniors, who would not have a chance to finish their careers, whether it was in the NCAA tournament or the Big Ten tournament or the Atlantic 10 tournament. I wanted them to be able to finish their careers. I felt badly for team managers who were with teams that were going to go to the NCAA tournament for the first time. They're seniors. They work their way up. First-year coaches and a lot of guys that we know, Joe Mahalis. But Mike Farley is one of our guys from St. Joe's, and he wasn't going to have a chance to go to the tournament. Juwan Howard, he pushed a lot, but he was going to take his first team to the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
There was sorrow, and there was sorrow for the hundreds of millions of college basketball fans. But saying all that, realizing that basketball was a thimble in what was going on with the world and what is still going on with the world. So, but the initial reaction was I felt that. I felt it in my heart.
Yes, so did I. I did, too. Yes, you have over – we have 13 postseason appearances at the coaching center for 24 years. And, like, a lot of players look up to you and follow your lead. So the NCAA is expected to approve a one-time transfer waiver. What are your thoughts on that? Because there's going to be I think it's going to get kind of right word. It might get out of hand, I believe, because there's going to be kids going to certain schools just for this. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't agree with the proposal. I think that it's going to create chaos. I think there's going to be fewer scholarships awarded to high school players. I think most of us will wait around and take a transfer player who has proven himself in college.
Right.
I think that the lack of respect and the trust coach to coach, I think there will be tampering, and that's going to create ill will, coaching staff to coaching staff. And I think that players will be less respectful of what of their relationship with their coach. It's going to be, what can I get now? Where can I get that?
And right.
At the end of the day, the experience of college basketball should include, obviously, an academic component, a social component, and an athletic component. If you're jumping around school to school, I don't know where you settle in and you ever can say, that's my home.
Right.
And I fear that this is going to lead us into a very clouded time in college basketball.
Yeah, because they're also throwing around the idea of players being paid for their likeness. That might lead to certain players going to certain schools, like you said, for what we can do for me now. And certain schools might miss out on players they might get if this proposal didn't come up.
Well, name, image, and likeness. I think anything that benefits the players, I'm all for
right.
giving them an opportunity. As long as there's parameters and as long as we can build an educational component. As you state, by just going somewhere and thinking, well, I'm going to get this amount or I'm going to be able to endorse this product, I don't know that that's going to be accurate. I do think that it's going to create some ill will in our locker rooms because if the quarterback, and I'm going to pick a place, at Alabama is making more than the right tackle because of the visibility of his position, I don't know how in a locker room that's going to create – harmony. That's one of my fears.
How do you think about the NCAA handling the players' eligibility? They gave some players a tier of eligibility because of the coronavirus.
Doing that for the spring sports was very admirable by the NCAA. It was a right step for the NCAA. I did not believe at any point in time, seniors in basketball, swimming, wrestling, I didn't think that that was feasible. I did believe that the spring sports
be given that opportunity to compete if they so desire. If they want to get on with their lives, then they get on with their lives. So I applaud the NCAA for putting that right front and center.
Right. Yeah, my biggest thing about the NCAA decisions is that, like we just touched on, there's a lot of players won't be able to play. There's no March Madness, and a lot of the kids look forward to that one shiny moment. Like I'm one, like a kid when it comes to that. Like turn on TV for the one shiny moment after the title game. A lot of people look forward to that.
Well, there's no question, and. I know that in the NCAA office, it was a very difficult time. There's nobody there that just said, let's cancel this. And,
yeah.
But in terms of being a good community neighbor, being a partner, and in the big picture of society in distress, it would have been great to have that tournament, but not to be this year.
Yeah. So how's your transition been?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful place. Great people. The basketball is, as we would expect, at the highest level. Having this opportunity and being with Juwan Howard, who was a Mount Rushmore type of individual, I've been been very, very, very fortunate. I terribly miss Philadelphia. I terribly miss my family. My wife was able to come out maybe twice every 6 weeks. But the opportunity to be in a locker room,
right,
to be able to pick guys up, to have conversation about academics, to have conversation about roommates, all of that stayed the same. The basketball was at a very, very high level, as you well know, that Big Ten this year. So I feel very fortunate, very blessed. I do miss my friends. I do miss my family. But I have my friendships, and I have my memories from all that we were able to accomplish.
Can you speak on the environment you guys are building there at Michigan, the culture you're building in the locker room?
Well, the culture is all about it's all about family. It's all about trust. It's all about accountability. And it's a beautiful thing, John, to watch Juwan Howard in his first year through. It's beautiful to watch him make some mistakes.
Right.
It's beautiful to watch him communicate. And it's beautiful to understand his reason for going back. He wants to give to the next generation what he got from Michigan. And his love for school, his love for the program is evident in every time he speaks and every time he takes a step on the campus to be enveloped by his pride in being a Michigan man has been heartwarming for me.
I want to take you back a little bit. You've coached a lot of great players over the years coaching. Take us back to coaching Jameer Nelson and your unbeaten regular season in 2004. Take us through your mindset and the team's mindset.
Well, 2004 was a byproduct of what happened the year before. The year before, we had a really good team.
Right.
Delonte West got hurt. We played in the NCAA tournament. We had a chance to play Auburn in Florida, and we just weren't good enough. Delonte was playing on one leg.
Right.
But that set it up. Jameer puts his name in, decides to come back.
Yeah.
And it was on from that moment forward. That team and coaching that team was like being in a bubble. I didn't know the day of the week. I didn't know the date. I just knew that day that team showed up. And if it was an off day, they didn't show up, but they were making the best use of their time.
Right.
They made the best use of their time in the weight room. And we invited everybody in. We didn't shut anybody out. We wanted this to be an experience that people would remember forever. And here we are 15, 16 years later, still talking about that team. I thought it was a team that set a standard.
Right.
For teams not only in Philadelphia, but in all sports throughout the country. Led by a special guy who taught me a lot about leadership and watching how he handled notoriety, how he handled celebrity, and how he handled the onslaught of media attention. Every day since that day, I get up and I want to repeat that because I remember the smiles on people's faces at, you know, pumping gas or the dry cleaner or at church. It was special. And it wasn't just St. Joe special. It was not just Philadelphia special. It was not basketball special. It gave people a warm feeling. For those memories, I am eternally grateful.
Yes. What about coaching? Would you say is the hardest thing?
Not being able to deliver for a player and their family their expectation. They have goals, they have dreams.
Yeah.
And when you know that a player is going to fall short of those goals or those dreams, it's very challenging because that's a raw, raw, raw feeling
for a player or for a family. So my disappointment, my challenge would be in trying to deliver a whole picture idea as opposed to just a basketball idea. That's a challenge at Michigan, and it's a challenge every single day with every single player because they all have different expectations.
Right.
Or not just expectations, but they have different dreams. And to not be able to help them fulfill that is really difficult.
What advice would you give to anyone that's thinking about getting into coaching that's looking at your Hall of Fame career as like a template?
I would suggest that people forget, yes, you have to gain knowledge.
Yeah.
But I have to always remember that you're coaching people. So I would ask them to be honest when they look at the man in the mirror. Are you loyal? Do you have a work ethic? How are your communication skills? Both, even more important than just communicating, what kind of listener are you?
Okay.
And at the end of the day, do you care enough? Do you care enough about others? Because that's what coaching is. I think it is a form of being a servant to others, and to being a pathway to hopefully a better person, a better student, and a better player.
How much would you say the growth of the game had an influence on the way you coached over the years? With the growth of more players, positionless players who can play more than one position on the floor. How would you say that influence?
I always thought that I wanted to study the game.
Okay.
So I always took time every spring to study the NBA playoffs to see what was new, because I did think that they played a different game. They play a better space game. They play with a different shot clock. Yeah. I always wanted to see what was coming next. But it always came back to John for me about the players and developing their skills, improving them. And then we'll figure out how to play. We'll come up with a system to play. But right. I think the game itself is about the players and the players' development and the players' improvement. And I always tried to focus on that.
It showed. I can honestly say that, because covering some of the games when you were coach, I noticed every night all your players gave their all. Losing, they tried to come back. They never gave up. They always tried to win. I know it was a direct reflection of you.
You're very kind. Thank you.
So were you able to check out The Last Dance, the Jordan documentary?
hitting everybody. I can't imagine what the numbers were.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it was an absolutely remarkable numbers, along with the NFL draft. So I'm looking forward to following Jordan. I did have an opportunity. Somebody wanted to send me in an email all 10. I would rather watch it this way. Two at a time.
Right.
It's just going to be terrific.
Yeah, this week they're bringing up the Jordan rules when he went against the Detroit Pistons. I can't wait for that.
Well,
what do you think about their battles? We all know when Jordan
played. that was fierce. So this is going to be just remarkable. I think that ESPN's doing a great job with the wrap-up shows and obviously all of us would like to have live and watching sport, watching the playoffs and things like that. But
right.
Boy, this is something special. And the other thing, I don't know if you would agree with me, I actually forgot how good he was. I should change that. I forgot how great he was. His scoring ability in an era where that was a man's game when he was playing.
Yes.
Just absolutely extraordinary. And it would give a lot of young people, I hope it gave a lot of young people a flashback, not that far back, but a flashback to Kobe. Kobe was the closest to what Jordan was in his prime.
Yes, and he was getting co-signed by Larry Bird. We all know how great Larry Bird was. A lot of people don't know how great Larry Bird was.
Oh, wow.
But to hear Larry Bird just tell, give the story of how great he was and what he did against one of the greatest Celtics teams in history, if that's not enough for you, I don't
know. Wow. Sometimes the young don't get it. You know, they think Bird was too slow and too this and too that. And, all you have to do is
talk
to those that have been around.
Yes, definitely. Phil, thank you for joining me again on the NBA panel, man. We've got to do this again at a later date.
Thanks for including me. And please, everybody out there, please be safe, stay healthy, and stay strong. We're going to come out the other side.
Yes, thanks, Phil. Be safe.
All right, John. Take care.
All right, Phil. Yes, that was a great Phil Martelli once again joining the NBA panel. Catch you next week.